Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We've painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure.
So, you Big Bang Theory fans, guess who's going to join us on the show in about 45 minutes? Simon Helberg.
Okay.
From the Big Bang Theory is going to join us in studio. Super funny dude. We all know who he is.
I kind of did.
If you don't know his name, you'll know his face.
Yeah, you'll definitely know his face.
Yeah.
Even if you don't watch Big Bang Theory, you recognize their faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're all hilarious. I mean, every single person on that cast is hilarious. Yeah. He'll join us in studio 45 minutes away. We do have your Bachelorette recap with Caroline Craddock coming up in about 20 minutes.
All right.
Because, man.
Last night was that was it.
Yeah, that was it. She picked her man. And they're together.
Engaged.
And they're engaged.
She's engaged, yes.
But Kelly says there was some body, or what was it, body language going on?
It was bad.
Okay. Okay, so we'll see.
She was seething and uncomfortable.
Okay.
And he was I mean, I'm not a body language expert.
But it didn't look right.
Okay. It was all sorts of wrong.
Hmm. This morning they're on Good Morning America. Hopefully we'll get her soon.
Living the lie.
Living the...
I bet they have to follow through to a point.
Right.
To get the money.
Anyway. We'll talk about it. 20 minutes. Plenty that went on last night with that.
Work.
We were talking about awful jobs we had as teenagers. I believe it was the first break of the show. And Kelly revealed that she used to pick twigs out of moss.
Pick twigs out of, up in the south, all these weeping willows that drape over the street. Beautiful.
Yeah.
All this moss draping down, and I guess I didn't know until Kelly told me there's twigs gathered in that moss, and you have to pick those twigs out.
Yeah. Big Al had a job sweeping a warehouse.
You had lots of jobs, right? You were working young.
I've worked since I was 12. I threw newspapers. That's why I really have no problem waking up early.
Yeah.
I woke up at 4 o'clock for 5 years from the age of 11 throwing newspapers. But, and that wasn't a great job, but one of the worst jobs I had was sitting out in the middle of the summer on the curb counting cars with one of those little clickers.
Oh,
every time a car
worst.
Passed by, I'm like, another car. Oh, two.
Wow.
That's what I did. I did it from like 8 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon. Oh. I was a traffic counter.
Oh,
see, and I was fortunate, I guess, in hindsight, because I played soccer so competitively.
Yeah.
I mean, every single day until I was 17 years old.
You played
so
soccer.
My parents had always said, if you're going to keep playing soccer competitively, you don't have to get a job. But if you want to quit soccer, then you got to get a job. And I thought about it because I wanted to be a lifeguard.
Yeah.
I loved how tan they were and spinning their whistles.
Yeah. That's what I would like to do, too.
I always wanted to be a lifeguard. Yeah, I know. So I never got that bad summer job when I was a teenager.
Gotcha. Then I got replaced by a rubber hose.
Of course you did. Yes. Our phone number is 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK.
Did you have a bad one, JC?
Oh, yeah. The worst one I ever had was when I was a breadstick. For the restaurant I worked at.
Oh, you were one of those guys that stood out in costume in front of the restaurant?
I was a company mascot. So I would have to go to like the big meetings and like so all the suits would be there and I'm dressed like a stupid breadstick.
Did somebody else dress like a ramekin of marinara sauce?
No.
You gotta keep dipping your stick into the marinara.
Nope.
Whoa.
I was the only moron.
I'm so dirty.
And then they would make me dance, like they would turn on music. They said, anytime you hear music, you gotta dance, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So I'm the idiot up there dancing. I'm making like $6 an hour as a stupid breadstick.
Brad Pitt did it. Remember, he was a chicken.
Yeah, but
he's Loco or something.
That's
right?
Brad Pitt, though.
Hey, man, it's a job.
At least when he takes his costume off, he looks like Brad Pitt. I just look like a sweaty mess.
I'm not gonna hate on those folks dressed like the Statue of Liberty or whatnot in front of the tax office, or,
right?
You know, whatever it is.
But it was the worst. Oh, it was so hot too. I didn't even get a fan in there.
Yeah.
Nobody knew it was me. And then I would hear people talking like, oh, man, that breadstick was so goofy. I'd be in the bathroom changing, and they'd be talking crap about me.
Hmm.
A couple text messages.
All right.
I worked in a tire shop where the owner puts rims and tires on my vehicle at the beginning of the summer, and I worked them off for pay.
Okay.
Years later, I did the math. I made about $1 an hour all summer.
But you had some rims, though, dog. You had some rims.
Yeah, but you had them rims and tires.
Those spinners, man.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Let's start off with Destiny. Hi, Destiny.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Great. Worst job you've ever had?
Well, I was at a summer camp in Arkansas, and I was a camp counselor. So I had a cabin of girls between the ages of 6 and 9.
Yeah.
Well, one of the girls still wore diapers, and she didn't tell anyone.
Oh.
So whenever she had messy diapers, she would just stick them under her mattress.
Oh.
And I didn't find them until like 4 or 5 days after they left.
Yeah.
So that was really good birth control.
Thank you, Destiny.
Oh, man.
I've heard great stories about being a camp counselor, and then I've heard stories like Destiny's.
Yeah.
That could be good and bad. Mary, you had a job on the side of the road, huh?
Yes. I worked in Houston, Texas. I was looking for a job. I was actually only in my 20s, and I found a job saying, you can be your own executive.
Oh, nice.
So I walked into the building, and they said, okay, your first job, you need to dress nice. So I had on this nice gown and everything. They put me in the middle of the roughest part of town with a box of perfume.
Oh, so you're the perfume sampler chick.
On the side of the road?
Yeah, you go up to the shopping malls. Yeah.
Yeah, and you just spray people, right?
You sell
it. You walk up in the park, you just try and sell it. Try to sell it.
Oh.
You sell any perfume?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Did you ever have any close calls when you're out on the streets, though?
In that gown?
Yeah.
Well, that job lasted all of one day.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, part-time Justin.
I don't blame you, Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody would want to walk around. Guys are still selling audio equipment and vans, by the way, if you're wondering.
Yeah.
I got approached the other day.
Don't do it.
Don't ever buy those.
Don't fall for it.
Megan, you worked for a podiatrist?
I did, and that was the worst job I ever had, ever.
Why?
It wasn't the feet. It was the doctor. He was the dirtiest doctor I ever worked for. He was so dirty and gross. When we would have to autoclave the instruments after procedure, he yelled at me for using a clean bag, a sterile bag, to autoclave the instruments and to sterilize them.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
He wanted me to reuse dirty, nasty, rusty bags because he, quote, didn't have enough money to keep buying new ones.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yikes. Oh, hopefully he's still not working.
No, he's not.
On my way out,
I called OSHA. I don't know what happened after that, but he's not there. That was the first and last time I ever worked for him because it was just absolutely disgusting because if you have dirty instruments, whether they've been through an autoclave or not,
you pass
they're
it on.
Still dirty.
Bless you for having to put up with that.
Shout out if you're on the way to the doctor this morning.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not him.
You can call OSHA, though.
Yeah.
We have Alan on the phone. Not your Alan, Kelly.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Got Alan Pabuga.
Hello, I'm Alan.
Yeah. Hi, Alan.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
You got to say hello, I'm Alan when you call and your name's Alan.
Hello, I'm Alan.
What was your worst job, Alan?
Oh, man.
Well, I worked with my dad since I was about 11 in a furniture store, and that was the bad part of it. The bad part of it was that I pretty much got slept with any of the duties that nobody else wanted to do, which typically ended up being cleaning the inside of the refrigerators when they came back.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd think logically people would stop paying their rental bill before they stopped paying their electric bill, but a lot of times it was the opposite, and so it comes back with just spoiled food in it.
Oh.
Sits in a container behind the store for a couple of days and just ruminates, and it is horrible.
Oh,
like a crime scene in that fridge.
It was. It got bad enough once that I had to go next door to the dollar store, get a painter's mask, and spray that Listerine breath spray inside of it, and just get a power washer and just go nuts.
Oh, man.
Oh, my man.
Somebody's got to do it, Alan. You're the soldier.
But you know what? That makes you a better person, I think. Like a terrible job when you're a kid, I think it makes you appreciate a decent job when you're an adult.
Yeah.
It makes you not afraid to
exactly.
work
Exactly. You know, it's not going to get any worse than it was back then.
Yeah.
Let's take one more here from Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, bud.
Worst job you've ever had, Aaron. What was it?
Okay. It was my senior year, and one of my teachers asked me and a couple of my buddies to ask him to see if we wanted to help skin raccoons because he sold the fur.
Skin raccoons, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. It didn't sound so bad at the time. So it was easy money.
Right.
It was $1.50 for each raccoon. So the first week, it was horrible. It smelled nasty. And then it was just nasty, and we only lasted a week, actually. And the worst part about it is we didn't even get paid.
Oh, no.
Oh, your own teacher ripped you guys off?
Skinning raccoons and didn't even pay you?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Did you have to catch the raccoons?
No, they're already dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
they're probably roadkill, most of them.
Oh.
Oh, man. That sucks.
Oh, I want to skin an animal.
Man, when your own teacher rips you off.
Yeah.
Man,
taking advantage of the youth.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Dad had me off in that paint removal stripping. I never will forget that. It made me a better person.
Yeah. Lesson we learned is be like Jenna. Just play soccer. Don't get a job as a teenager.
Yeah, stay in sports.
Stay in sports, people. All right, coming up next, Caroline Craddock's going to join us in studio. We're going to talk about the final episode of The Bachelorette. And it's not looking good based on what Kelly's seen after the final rose.
Anybody who didn't see what I saw, open your eyes.
I didn't, but maybe I will.
Take
maybe
the scales off your eyes. It's ridiculous.
All right, we'll talk about it next.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Don't forget, Big Bang Theory fans, Simon Helberg in studio with us coming up in less than an hour. Funny dude. But last night, speaking of TV world, was the season finale of The Bachelorette. Don't worry. Bachelor in Paradise starts today, I believe.
Oh, my God.
They don't even give us a week off.
Right?
Nope.
We can't rest.
We get Chad back on TV, which is all that matters, because that guy's a train wreck. But you can't not watch him. Caroline Craddock is in studio with us because she is the Bachelorette Whisperer.
I am.
Did you call this? Is this what happened last night? Did you call it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course you did. Everybody did.
Yeah.
I didn't think
pretty self-evident.
I didn't think there'd be anything else.
So what do you want to kick it off with here, Caroline? Because it got going pretty quickly there.
There were just two left. He was choosing one choice of two, right?
Jordan and Robbie.
I missed the first part.
So they're in Thailand, and they start with Jordan meeting JoJo's family.
Okay.
Jordan is a very likable guy. So there's nothing wrong to be likable. But also, I had my other side coming and telling me, okay, he's a playboy. So, yeah, he can easily be liked with a lot of women. And is that going to bring JoJo's trust level up or down? So I'm very concerned about this.
So are you planning to marry her soon?
Well, here's...
You will see yourself married?
Yes, absolutely.
Within
and
the
I told
next
JoJo.
Year or two?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
He seemed like he felt comfortable with the parents, but
he
not.
He did, exactly. Yeah, he was down, kind of, but kind of like not... He didn't seem that interested.
No.
I don't know.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it was interesting, too. JoJo's mom said that she thought they were maybe too much alike because it's like JoJo's kind of the life of the party, and it seems like Jordan kind of
needs
is too.
The spotlight.
Yeah,
yeah, and she said that that's JoJo's issue. She usually dates these really outgoing guys where they're kind of competing for the spotlight.
Oh, she needs somebody that's not so out there.
Yeah, and I think Robbie kind of was a little less out there. Yeah, he kind of, I think, would have let, because Kelly and I have had this conversation, it's hard to find guys that will just let you kind of like do your thing and them kind of step back.
Let you be the star.
Exactly.
You do it, honey.
And JoJo needs that, but...
All right.
No, JoJo does not need that.
Apparently she doesn't.
She knows
what she needs. Apparently she
does. He brought hats for the family, which was weird. Normally you bring like flowers and like some wine. He brought goofy hats for them to wear.
That was fine. I did not have a problem with that. That was an icebreaker.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with
JoJo's
that.
JoJo's mom's so funny. She like was totally down for it.
Yeah. I felt like the brothers were looking.
She's a hoot.
Hottie totty. I love mama.
She's a hoot.
She called him out too, said that he looks like a playboy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She told him to his face.
And then this was the awkward portion of the conversation. I don't know if it was for you.
Yeah.
It was when JoJo's mom made Aaron's brother, that's what Caroline calls him, pledge his allegiance.
Give me your word that you will never break my daughter's heart.
Oh, absolutely not. I promise.
No pause there.
JoJo's mom looked at me and made me promise to not break JoJo's heart. And that was a heavy moment.
Yeah.
That was...
See, these aren't fair conversations to have with two men who've known your daughter for less than
two months.
These are not fair, rational conversations.
Nothing about
to have.
This is fair and rational and real, realistic for it to be reality.
How can you say you're not going to break someone's heart? Like, what if they, in real life, that he ends up not liking her or something, or they fight a lot.
But like watching this back, Caroline, if Jordan was the guy you were hoping to, end up with, and you saw him talking to your mom and she asked, make sure you don't break my daughter's heart. And he does that long pause with the gulp.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How can anyone guarantee that?
No, and it doesn't get any better because he was told JoJo he was going to ask her dad for his permission to marry JoJo, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
So that wasn't good. So it's kind of like not looking so good for Jordan right now.
The thing was, is after she met both, the families met both Robbie and Jordan, and they're all sitting there, and she's like, they said, yeah, you know, Robbie asked for your permission. Did Jordan ask? No.
Yeah.
Wait, what? She had a
meltdown.
Oh, really? She didn't want Robbie. She's already made up her mind she wanted Jordan, but he didn't ask.
I love that the whole family's like Robbie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole family really likes Robbie way
they
more.
They get it.
And you could tell. What happened with Robbie? He had like the best speech to them. Like he was making mom and dad
cry.
He
seemed very genuine. I know people are giving him a lot of grief.
He grew on me a little bit last night.
He grooms himself a little too impeccably.
I know everyone says that he's gay, and I don't. I'm off base. I don't get that vibe. Sure, yeah, but I don't get that vibe.
Very metro.
Very in touch with his emotions. Maybe close with his mom. Like I don't know. I don't get that vibe. Though.
As a parent, this is what you want your girlfriend's boyfriend to sound like right here.
I don't just want her hand in marriage. I want all that is Joelle Hannah Fletcher because you guys have raised such a special girl.
Joelle Hannah.
And if I'm fortunate enough to receive that blessing, I can promise you both to protect her, to care for her, and love for her for my entire life. And commitment is a lifetime thing. And it'll be in that blessing and through that commitment that I would be honored to be a part of your family.
Aww. As long as she doesn't touch my hair product.
I want to marry him.
He was so genuine. I really think he
was
meant
really
it.
Sweet.
But
he
of
was
course,
really, really
that's
sweet.
Why you can't pick him.
Of course. Because
you'd have a shot with this one.
Right. Did you guys notice, though, Caroline, did you notice this? Like, every time Robbie does something on camera, his hair is always impeccable.
Yeah,
like,
he just needs a style. He needs somebody to loosen him up.
They wake up in the morning from the fantasy suite, hair perfect.
Perfect. Always perfect.
There was a scene where he was taking a shower.
And he fixed his hair.
The shower, inside the shower, his hair, perfect.
Like, the way he combed
I think there's a bump it
hair.
In there.
There's something in
there's
there.
There's a bump it.
It's too perfect.
Okay, this next part gives me the jam so bad.
Why?
Because they're having their date after Robbie meets the parents. They go on a one-on-one date. And they're talking about their future. What is their future going to look like after the show's over? And Robbie goes into this full-blown scenario. You're going to come home from work and make a meatloaf.
That's all right.
And have Sauvignon Blanc. No, no. Play the clip. It is so...
it is not.
Okay, let's
see. It is not. People talk.
Nasty.
No.
Caroline
no.
says
you envision
no.
your life. You envision what your everyday life is
going to
be.
If my life is meatloaf and Sauvignon Blanc, that's not a life I want to live.
This is his life right here.
Let me hear it.
I see us sitting on just the most comfortable living room sofa while dinner finishes in the oven. And there's a dog on the couch with us, obviously.
Obviously.
And then there's a faint noise of kids in the background.
Ew.
You know, this is the bonus room, probably just around the hallway. And then we smell food burning because we were lost in the moment.
You're the cook.
And lost in conversation to the point where we overcooked the meatloaf. But we're fine. But we're fine with it.
First of all,
sweet. I think it's
you're
sweet.
In love, Kelly. Hold on. That's why you think
Caroline,
it's
people,
creepy.
This will
no,
blow
it's
your
not
mind.
Creepy people. This is real life. Real life isn't jumping out of airplanes and scaling
exactly.
waterfalls.
Exactly. But I'm
that
not
is
trying
real
to
life.
Sit and talk like.
No, Caroline. This is where I jumped on. This is where I jumped on Team Robbie. A. First of all, JoJo is wife material because she quoted Wedding Crashers. So wife that girl up.
Okay.
Second of all,
Ma, the meatloaf.
That is exactly what my wife and I were doing. We were sitting on a comfortable couch, drinking, solving whatever that thing's called. Most guys don't
drink
say that.
Drink wine and eat meat.
Yeah. And we burnt our food and we have our kids laughing in the background.
And that's
life.
But it's weird when you're talking about it. I don't like it.
This whole scenario's weird. He asked for permission to marry her after knowing her for a minute.
That's when I was like, this guy gets it. Like, this guy's for real.
We got to fast forward, though,
because
I know her time's limited to who she picked and the body language issues, Caroline.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have to.
Okay, so Jordan, you know, they both boys pick out the ring.
Yep.
And then Jordan.
Well, let me tell you, Jordan picked out a better ring.
He did.
Okay.
And you can always tell. You can always tell because with Ben's season last year, he picked out this ring and we knew it was not a JoJo ring. That was a Lauren ring. And when Jordan picked out this ring, it was a JoJo ring.
Yeah, the other ring was not right.
No, this
Robbie.
Was for JoJo.
It happened.
So he calls, Jordan calls JoJo's parents to finally ask for permission.
Yeah, because oops, she chewed him out for not doing it.
Well, yeah, he screwed up.
Dude. Only one guy asked for permission. You're leaving me hanging. She flat out had to fuss at him.
Ooh, yeah. Boy. So he calls them, and they're all like cool with it. They're like, oh, of course, definitely. Because that's why not? Because you can't
Aaron,
say no.
Have Aaron call.
Yeah. And then it gets down to the proposal time.
Yeah. So it's kind of like it's every season. You always know who's going to win because the loser always comes out first.
Usually.
So pretty much every time. So up comes Robbie first.
You're not just my partner in crime. You're my best friend. I promise I'll love you till the day I die.
Hey, hold on. I can't let you get in front of me.
But I'll let you say that stuff first.
Sure. I can't let you do that because I don't want to take that moment from you.
Oh, poor
why let him speak? Why let him open his mouth?
Broke his heart.
Talk to him
you should meet him
there.
In the dirt before he gets to the platform. Yeah. And, say, look, dude.
And they're allowed to do that. In Allie's season, she went to the guy the night before and said, I don't want to put you through this rose ceremony. Don't
it's humiliating.
Come up and propose to me.
Yeah.
He handled it like a champion, though.
He didn't really show a lot of emotion.
Yeah. He handled it
he
well.
Really
he
really
shocked.
Didn't.
I think he was shell-shocked.
And then...
Jordan... What's his name?
This is Aaron's brother.
This is when I woke up.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I didn't want you to get down on one knee until you knew that.
Okay.
You wouldn't stop me.
Because you better
know,
get down on one knee right
know
now.
How I felt.
Where's Aaron?
Well.
No.
Oh, Aaron, watch his car.
This is happening.
Yeah.
Yes, it's happening.
It's real. This has been real. I love you so much. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Joelle Hannah Fletcher.
Oh, it's Neil Lane.
Will you marry me?
Yes.
Yes. Aww.
After she just said she was in love with another guy like 10 minutes before that. So,
I wanted it to be you, but you're not related to an NFL player.
I know she kept saying that. I wanted it to be you to
I
Robbie.
I wanted it to be you.
If I'm Aaron, if I'm a Jordan and I see that last night where she kept saying, I wanted it to be you, I'm like, well, bye.
It could have been. Yeah.
See you later, alligator.
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly, you don't think they're going to make it?
No, I don't think they're together now.
They're kind together. They're together.
Well, they're in the same room. Now. You should have seen the body language between them two last night. She was wanting to be anywhere but there.
I think they've just gotten a lot of bad press for it.
So bad.
He's gotten a lot of bad press,
and you know what? And this is, that's the downside. There's a good side to quick fame, and you get a lot of attention, a lot of compliments, but then the tide kind of turns, and it's really difficult. And I can say with certainty, and I 100% know.
Yeah.
Because I know the family.
Yeah, you know
they're
George.
Still together, and they're moving in together down the street from one of my friends.
Good luck. Yeah.
So they are, as of now, they are together and really into each other. Really
okay.
In love.
Mine
still
didn't
engaged.
Pick up that.
Well,
I didn't
just,
pick up
I'm
really
telling
into
you,
each other.
You know, that, and you know.
Maybe something
together,
happened.
Yeah, I didn't pick up that they weren't. I really didn't.
You didn't pick up the body language?
Now, keep it in mind. As soon as Chris Harrison came out at the beginning of the show and said, sit back. We have 3 hours of...
I know.
3 hours?
Yeah.
I went to sleep.
He should have never said that.
I went to sleep and woke up, and Jordan was coming out and proposing that by the time I woke up.
Yeah, he should have never said that.
3 hours is 2.5 hours too long.
3 hours?
Yeah.
No way, dude.
I calculated how much time I spent watching this season.
Okay.
Oh, 24 hours.
You give a day of your life.
A day of my life. So let me tell you what I could have done in those 24 hours, okay? I could have walked the entire island of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. I could have read through all 37 of Shakespeare's plays.
Yep.
Wow.
I could have biked from Miami to Key West. I could have watched 2 whole seasons of House of Cards.
Mm.
And I could have made 7,539 pizzas. But instead, I watched The Bachelorette.
And waste of time.
Do you regret it? Of course you don't. You're the Bachelorette winner.
Right, be right there next time.
Yeah.
When does The Bachelor start?
Well, we don't know.
We got Bachelor in Paradise, and Bachelor starts.
And of course, what's his name got up and made his plea to be the Bachelor?
Clay?
Chad.
Oh, Chad.
Yeah, he wants. He says he deserves love too.
He's on Bachelor in Paradise.
I know, but he can still do the Bachelor. They're not filming the Bachelor yet.
Hi, Dios mío. Thank you, Caroline, for keeping us updated all
You're
season long.
You're so welcome.
We'll see if it lasts.
Okay.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Simon Helberg, you know him as Howard on The Big Bang Theory. He'll be with us in about 20 minutes. Real quick, Fuller House did extremely well. So people want old sitcoms to get a reboot. Will Smith didn't want to be a part of the second Independence Day movie. But would he be a part of the new Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Here's his answer.
I don't think ever. Yeah, like... pretty close to when hell freezes over. Pretty close. Like, we're going to leave that one alone.
So you're saying there's not a chance.
There's a chance, huh, Will?
There's no chance.
Come on, Will.
I know.
But there, you leave it alone.
There are plenty of TV shows out there for us to watch. And part-time Justin's here.
Yes, I like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Everybody likes
that. I know. He was my, he inspired me to dress for the 90s night.
Oh, is that what you were going
on? Yeah, it was more like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like type of vibe. It was all colorful. I looked like a box of crayons.
You look like you had a lot of fun at the party.
I had so much fun.
The pictures are up at KidNation.com and at KidsKids.com if you want to check it out, including the performances from me and Big Al Mack with the Clinton years.
Yeah, you can fast forward through mine.
If you want
to... It's all the same to you.
Yeah, if you're like really bored and want to watch that, yeah, you should.
No.
But Justin, you got a couple shows that you're really into that you want to throw
so
away.
So The Bachelor is over now.
Yes.
Thank you.
But we, Netflix, we all got Netflix now. And there is a great show on Netflix that everyone is talking about.
Which is?
It's called Stranger Things.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
I've heard of this show.
Are you watching it?
Yes, I have watched it.
What's it about?
Okay, so it's got like a Goonies type of vibe or the Sandlot. It's like these kids, one of their friends goes missing and now they're trying to find him, but when they try to find him, they find this girl who is really weird and she can move things telepathically.
So I'm intrigued because last night someone tweeted me that my high school pictures are very similar to one of the redhead stars of this show.
Oh, really?
Do you see a resemblance?
Well, this was maybe because it's set in the show's
Bev
set.
Or...
Maybe the show, there is a girl, she.
Winona Ryder. Winona Ryder is the mom.
Yeah, that's not her.
I know the character they're probably talking about.
Yeah, I looked her up and I'm like, yeah, that could have been me in a prairie blouse with those big glasses.
Prairie blouse all the time.
It's set in the 80s and they use all 80s music and it's all like 80s clothing style. It is so cool.
PG-13 scary show.
It is. So you and Emma Kelly could watch it together.
No.
It is. You could.
PG-13?
It's not scary at all.
Is it dirty?
No, not really.
I'd rather let really? Scary than
Well,
dirty.
No, it's like, did you like the Goonies? Because if they wanted to watch the Goonies, it's just like that.
Okay, cool.
How many seasons?
It's one season. Eight episodes right now, but, you know, we need to all watch this now, and that way you got a week, and we can talk about it later.
Okay.
So like a Netflix binge-watching session.
What's it called again?
Stranger Things.
Yes. So
I'm
good.
I'm ahead, so
and
I won't spoil
it. I'll watch that for you, because Jenna likes it, and Justin likes it.
Who have already seen Stranger Things, if you're looking for something else to watch, there's a movie called Dope on Netflix.
Dude.
Ain't that good?
I love this movie.
Yes, it's about... I wrote down a description. I said it's about a guy in the hood trying to go to college but ends up at the wrong place at the wrong time and ends up coming home with a bag of drugs and has to sell it before he gets got.
Yep.
Oh my.
The end of the movie, you're like you want to do a standing ovation.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so cool. That's dope. If you want to watch another movie, this is called Fundamentals of Caring on Netflix, and it has Selena Gomez, and she is not like she was on Disney, okay? She just lets that mouth fly, and it's about a man, Paul Rudd. He never ages. Paul Rudd, who ends up being a caretaker for a kid who has muscular dystrophy, but the kid's very sarcastic and very funny, and Paul Rudd has to figure out how he's going to work with this situation. So you know where this is going. Trying to get the kid to smile at life and, you know, just, you know.
And Selena's in it.
And Selena Gomez is the love interest.
Okay. Whoa.
All right.
And then one more, Grace and Frankie. Oh, my goodness. This is one of my favorite shows. Kelly, I think you'll love it. Okay.
What?
Okay. Don't read too much into this, but it's about two old bats that but it's about two old bats whose husbands, their husbands left them for each other. So their husbands are gay now, and they're all single, and now they got to figure out what's going on.
Don't look into it.
You like
Well, I mean, Benet left me for Patrick. Yeah.
That did happen.
What's that called again?
Grace and Frankie.
Grace and Frankie.
So cute.
Yeah.
But, and then if you know what, and we got the Big Bang Theory to watch, too.
We do have the Big Bang Theory to watch. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
It's just on TV at all times now. I think you could watch it on
airplanes at all times.
It's actually a really great show. I wasn't into it when it first started, but I've gotten into it, so I'm still pretty early on. But one of the stars from the show, Simon Helberg, who plays Howard, is going to be joining us next.
It's the Kidocratic Morning Show.
All right, you guys.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall. We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Bang!
You learned something from that theme song.
You know what's so unusual? Is TV shows don't have theme songs anymore.
I know.
So thank you for hanging on.
We have Simon.
Last few.
Simon Helberg in studio with us right now, who plays Howard. Hi.
Was that the Friends theme song? Yeah. I love that.
That's the thing. The theme songs from the shows I watched as a child, I can still recall.
Right.
Yeah. Now it's just like,
I know. It's just like a sting. It's like Cheers. I drove by the Cheers bar and I thought, oh, and that song, I think I've cried listening to the Cheers.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
What does that mean about, well, you know, I'm just kidding. I've never shed a tear to it.
Is there something you want to talk about?
No, I just, that was my opening joke. I'm a sensitive
man. It does make me curious, though, with DVR these days, we fast forward through intros. If you're watching your show on television, do you fast forward through the theme song?
No, I watch every minute.
You watch every moment?
Anything that I'm involved in, I watch several times.
Even the commercials, you'd watch Bravo products, you have to.
Oh, absolutely. I sit there and I'm that much of a narcissist.
Yeah.
It's all about me, even the commercials.
And you support all of your sponsors.
Yeah.
I do. I buy all of the cars. I have every car that advertises.
Yeah. Hey, do you go to like Japan and do commercials over there like Clooney does?
Yeah, I do toilet paper commercials. Charmin for Japan. They don't even have toilet paper in Japan, right? They have those toyles that they do everything
on
for
the
you.
Ground.
Yeah,
they do everything.
They
for
clean you.
Like
yeah.
You haven't seen that? There's like five buttons and it's like, I don't know, front, rear, what?
They have like a chip in your bladder. They can tell if you have to pee and the toilet seat just goes up and you know it's showtime.
I haven't made it out there yet. That's great.
Oh, it's great.
We could keep talking about toilets, Simon, but you're here to talk about the movie you're in.
Yeah.
Yes, I hope it's a little different.
Yeah, it comes out August 12th. It's Florence Foster Jerkins.
Jenkins.
No, oh my God. Enough with the toilet.
It's a typo.
Damn it.
Typo.
What I meant to say, Simon, it's Florence Foster Jenkins.
Foster.
Well, yes. Yes, Florence Foster Jenkins. That's right. That
I'll
is what it's called.
You
got it.
Yeah.
The promos for this have got me so intrigued.
Good.
I'm so excited. I love Meryl Streep. Who doesn't?
Yeah, well, sure. She's not bad.
And Hugh Grant. And of course you. I mean,
that's a no-brainer.
But I mean, what a cast.
I love when I Google this and I'm looking at stuff for the movie and it says Big Bang Theory star holds his own with Meryl Streep.
That's
a
compliment.
Really, I mean, is there a better compliment in the acting world than that, really?
No, that's all you can ask.
I mean, your name might have been nice.
It would have been said, I guess my name, but it would have been worse if it said Big Bang Theory star takes Meryl Streep down in flames.
Well, Simon, what we'd like to do is we'd like to do the sandwich so we have a positive now that
comes
negative
the, yes.
one. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I can find some. What does it say about my nose? The Google's always a fun place to look for self.
Do you stay away from those?
I haven't gone too deep this round because, you know, you get a lot of information about what people objectively think about, you know, your jawline and your height and things that I know I have nothing to worry about.
Really, they're that critical of you?
We're on radio, right? So,
I'm
tall, handsome, and I'm very chiseled.
Yes, you are.
So good looking.
Yeah. Thank you. Uh-huh.
So good looking. And you play Cosme McCoon.
Okay.
Or McMoon.
That was a very Spanish pronunciation.
Yeah, well,
you're a Mexican pianist.
He was born in Mexico, but he's of Irish descent, and then he goes to New York, and his name is really Cosme McMoon. It's the coolest name of all time, especially for a classical accompanist.
I must hear the Mexican Irish accent.
Yeah, how's
oh
that?
No, there was none of that.
¿Cómo está el español?
See, I know no Spanish. See,
muy bien,
he's not. He's he was a real character. These people are all based on the characters are based on real people that most of us have never heard of.
Yeah,
it's this amazing story. She plays what is basically now known as the worst opera singer of all time, but she had no idea what she sounded like. She thought she was God's gift to music, and she ended up playing at Carnegie Hall despite having no ability. So it's like. You see this now on American Idol and all these places, all these shows, people that are totally deluded. And
it's been going on for decades.
Yeah, well, delusion is something to hold on to, I think.
Now, did you lie on your resume to get this job?
Well,
did you exaggerate on your piano playing ability is what I mean.
Here's a lesson
no
for the
comment.
Kids. Yeah, you lied.
Look, if you want to make it, you need to lie.
Okay.
Yeah,
you do play the piano.
I do. I exaggerated because I wanted to be in the movie, and I said, and that Stephen Frears is this brilliant director, directed Philomena and The Queen and all of these unbelievable movies. Wanted to know if I could play, and I can. And then he just obsessed over this and asked me, can I play classical opera? And by the time I left, I said, I'm a classically trained pianist and I can play anything you put in front of me.
A professional.
So, and yeah, and he said, here you go. And I said, oh, no. So, but I learned it all.
Yeah, and you went home immediately and started working on it?
Yeah, Meryl did all the singing. And wow. I thought, I have to hold my own. Someday someone will write about that.
And is she method? Does she stay in character on the movie set always?
No, it's not quite. It's not. She's you know, in and out of sort of the feeling of mm-hmm. it. But you're dealing with a real human. She doesn't need to. She wasn't belting out, you know, opera or making me, you know, blot her brow with a handkerchief.
Were you allowed to make eye contact when you were not filming?
Oh, no. Well, I don't allow anyone to make eye contact. I haven't looked anyone in the eye in 8 years.
No.
No, as you can, that's why I'm on radio, because I cannot handle all of the mortals'
very
gazes.
Long eyelashes.
That's why I can't see anybody. Yeah. I can't see over my eyelashes.
I mean, girls, I pay for lashes to be that long.
I didn't say I didn't pay for these either. These are extensions.
You're on the biggest show, the TV show in the world, so meeting Meryl and Hugh, did they ever see you on the Big Bang Theory?
Well, it's hard to say because no one... I think it's hard to avoid the show. I mean, yeah. You're on an airplane. Yeah. And you'd have to jump off the airplane to avoid it. But I think they'd seen it and they were nice about it, but not. I don't think they were overly familiar. And Stephen Frears, the director, hadn't seen it. And I think in some ways it was helpful because people can really... You know, it's such a distinct character on the show, and this guy in the movie is completely different. This is a period piece in the 40s, and it's just a different thing. So it's nice when people are, you know, not overly familiar. But I'd seen some of Meryl's work, and
some of it.
I hope that she can continue to pay her health insurance with SAG.
Right.
Being on a show where you're so smart, has it made you more condescending in real life? Like, you know everything now?
Yeah.
I bet it does.
No, it just showed me how dumb I am. Yeah. When you have, I have to look up so much on that show on Google. Not myself, but what does this word mean? And so I've learned a little bit, but no, it's just highlighted my ignorance, which is always...
Do you have one word
that does to me? You know?
Yeah, good.
It's like medical shows.
It's so smart.
How do you learn that jargon?
Yeah. I mean, I said, hey, Kelly graduated college. I didn't even know they had 4 years of college.
No. Right?
Yeah, I did too. I thought we were done after 2 years.
Yeah.
I realized I was invited back. I was like, that's nicer than my finish.
I went 1 year. Do you have that one word that you remember that you could, like, you were struggling when you guys were filming?
Oh, well, this is the other weird thing is I'm not really, I don't know much about Star Trek, so, which is crazy because right now I'm probably the only one in the world, and then I play this character.
Yeah.
But I remember we had to ask Lieutenant Uhura, and we asked the writers, oh, how do you say, Uhura, and the writers almost started crying. They were so sad that we weren't, because I think even the writers think we must be
them.
Star Trek fans.
They feel like they can relate to you, and they're like, no.
Or like, Lieutenant Uhura, and they were like, oh. No.
He's not a dork like us.
Yeah. I always disappoint people. I'm just too cool. That's the thing. I'm never as dorky as anyone wants me to be. Sorry, world.
That's what I said. When I first looked at you, I'm like, he's just way too cool.
I know. Yeah. No, it's intimidating. I do feel bad for you guys, but you guys are doing all right. Yeah.
It's crazy how much of a change you have just by slicking your hair back and looking dope like that.
This is what I'm saying. You need to just change the subject from my cool looks, please.
How many hours does it take to dork you up?
That's the only thing I know about Star Trek. I have more makeup than any of the characters on Star Trek just to make to make me look dorky. They have to, it's like a lot of prosthetics. I'm a fake head.
Who on The Big Bang Theory is closest to their character in real life?
Ooh. Well,
Parsons.
Well, I can get in trouble for saying
that. No.
You're not going to get in trouble because you know what? You're the coolest.
Okay, well, I'll have to say Mayim, who plays Amy, only because she is a neuroscientist. So she actually has a degree. She's mm-hmm. actually smart. And sometimes they even say, hey, is this accurate? Is this how you would dissect a brain? They don't ask any of those questions. They know that we don't even know what a brain looks like because we only have really half a brain between the majority of us. Mm-hmm. So she's the real scientist, I guess. And that's the diplomatic answer.
That's very good.
Well done.
Whew. Way to sidestep it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Did I even say a complete sentence?
Well, you were just telling me something so interesting because I got to be on a little movie set for the first time and I realized, oh my gosh, they do the same thing over and over and over again. And I would assume that television would be really long days, but you know, they film the show in front of a live audience is what you were saying. So going back to doing a movie.
Yes.
I mean, is it just like.
Whooping?
Yeah, kind of. Even though it's a cool scenario, it's just the same
I walked
scene,
off the
and
set
you're like, I got it first time. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm done. Oh, Meryl, let me tell you something about acting.
Did you ever say, Meryl, get it together?
Yeah. I'm on this show, Meryl. I don't know if you've ever turned on the television, but it's smaller than the screens you're on, but we get paid a lot more. So, I didn't want to. It is fast. TV is very fast, but it's helpful when you're doing a movie because you're kind of ready to go. And you know, they work pretty quickly on the film as well, because believe it or not, Meryl and Hugh are brilliant and professional, and we didn't need to do it a tremendous amount of times.
Wow.
It wasn't as different as you might think. But this was a pretty intense process making this film. I mean, learning all of this music and working with these people, it was quite a lesson in professionalism, and just the most incredible group to be around. So
it's like you went and got your master's in acting by going with these people.
Yeah, that's why I didn't finish college.
Yeah,
I'll work with Meryl Streep, and I can stand in the glow of her Oscars.
Well, if I have to go see Bourne with my boyfriend, he's gonna have to go see Florence Foster Jenkins.
Yeah. This is what
that's the deal.
Or Jerkins.
I'm excited. I love period movies, and sometimes I think men are kind of turned off to that.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Well, yeah, unless it's a war movie.
Is there a gunshot or any kind of sex scene?
It takes place during World War II.
Okay.
No, well, it's really funny. I mean, it's not like a tearjerker. It's not really sappy. I'd be shocked if you went and sat through this and didn't laugh, and actually maybe didn't even feel a little tingle of emotion as well.
A little bit of onions being cut in the theater.
It's a really it's a brilliant movie. I have to say, I'm totally objective too. It's not
It's 91% on Rotten Tomatoes right now, and those people,
they like to take you down. So let's see what Bourne is on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Bourne.
Come on. Reborn. How many times can it be born?
Speaking of tomatoes, I have a random question. I'm sorry. Are you one of those skinny guys that eats a lot? Because, you know.
Speaking of tomatoes.
Yeah.
Segue or what, Simon?
He didn't finish college. Go easy on him. Just read my lips if it starts to get confusing.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Al, with your question about food.
No,
tomatoes.
That was it. Do you eat a lot?
No, I eat a little and I gain weight, but I see.
You're on
people,
radio, Al. Remember, he's on TV.
Some of those skinny people, they eat a whole lot. They don't gain any weight.
Al, he's superior to you.
In every way.
Stop talking.
I'm
to
not
him.
Mortal. And please stop making eye contact with me. I have a high metabolism, but you know, if that's what you want. I sound smart, don't I?
You have long eyelashes and a high metabolism.
Yeah.
You know God is not there.
Yeah. I'm like
those
this,
lashes.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have to get these lashes to be healthy. I'm like one of those supermodels without the looks, but that's like,
I just eat cheeseburgers.
I don't work out.
I sleep in cheeseburgers.
A bed of meat.
Carbs.
I was blessed.
So, were you lying to James Corden when you said you're a black belt? Is that you whoop some butt?
Well, I lied to James Corden about certain things, but not that. I am a black belt, but I was very little. I would love the Karate Kid is really where it came from, and so I went at like 5 and a half. And I thought, let's get
great.
This going. And by 10, I was a black belt. But all that I really gained from it was just flexibility. It wasn't scary.
You never had to shop. Use it?
No, I could do the splits. Wow, the two ladies.
Wow.
Man, I should have kept up with this.
They're
this
pretty impressed.
The ladies are just like, can you tell us a story about how you...
Can you protect
anything?
We love karate.
You never had to use it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so you don't need to go see Bourne. I bet you I have a higher degree in karate than Matt Damon.
I bet you do.
And I do period pieces. I could do the splits between two chairs, which was totally
what?
Like John Van Damme?
Yeah,
like in a door frame.
That's all that's all I wanted to do. But it was never. I don't think that really actually intimidated any. I mean, people ran away from it. I think to like go get a camera and take a picture and laugh.
I'm not fighting him.
Yeah.
He does the split.
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
He's like, woo, and he jumps out.
Yeah.
You still can do the splits?
No, I I just like, you know, no, I just.
You don't exercise, you're just thin.
No, I just, I don't want, I know, I'm sorry. Again, I have to apologize. Maybe that's why I have such a high metabolism. It was all the karate, okay?
Do you want to play piano for us?
No, God, why?
What's your go-to if someone does this? Well, now that you're talking about playing the piano, people are like, play it. If you had to play at a party, what's your go-to song?
I've always been really shy about that. I mean, I played.
You get nervous?
You've just made me nervous. I'm like,
see his fingers. He's like, he's getting all antsy.
Well, he's stretching them out,
little,
Kelly.
I'm doing little finger lifts. Yeah, I mean, I played like a different kind of music, and then I, you know, jazz and all and that kind of stuff. And then I got this movie where I had to play opera. So it was jazz. I thought was uncool enough in high school. I didn't have to play opera.
Right.
So,
jazz has swag.
Jazz has swag.
Crossing the arms, playing.
Yeah, you stand
up like Chris Martin style, like out of the seat and get really.
Yeah, Chris Martin, the great jazz pianist.
Simon Helberg's got to get going. He's got that movie out coming out. Florence Foster Jenkins.
Yeah,
hit theaters August 12th. Make sure you go watch it. It's great.
It's wonderful.
Great reviews. Oh, great man. Acting. Man, it's so good to meet you.
It's so good to be here. Thank you, guys.
All right, man.
And catch him on The Big Bang Theory, of course.
Can I get out of these splits now?
Yeah.
Okay, we get our chairs back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stop turning us on, Simon.
Hey.
Good to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you, too.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
And it's time for Elena Davies, the selfie queen, to take us into Tinder Tuesday.
Let me take a selfie.
Hi, Elena.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm so good.
Are you recovered from the party?
Yes.
You were dressed as Clueless.
I was so cute.
Yes. Cute chair.
Very cute.
You were cute. You were cute.
I want to be buried in that.
We will validate. Well, you were cute.
And your birthday's about to happen, right?
It is.
When is it?
It's August 19th.
Okay.
So for all of you guys that are planning a big surprise party, gifts.
Have we started planning the surprise party? You've got a couple weeks. Kelly, have we started planning the surprise party?
Yeah.
No, that'd be a surprise, wouldn't it?
So surprise.
Gosh, I'm not going to...
We're going to have it in surprise
Arizona.
I'm going
to be able to help you on that. I got to... I'll write it down anyway.
Well, Kelly, you know you have... I feel like Elena's going to celebrate for a week. More than a week.
Oh, sure.
A month.
And what? How old are you going to be or whatever?
Do I have to say?
Yeah, come on.
She's a girl. Girls don't like to talk about years.
Is it a milestone?
You're 20-something. No. You're 20-something, so...
I'm turning 26.
Yeah.
Yay.
So sad.
Why?
I don't know. I want to be 22.
Because it's not 25.
You want to be 22.
My wife legit cried when she turned 25.
Mine was 24.
She legit cried.
Mine was 25. I don't know what happened just immediately day I turned 25. I've been thinking about it. I have like a complex about my age. I'm not. Yeah. I feel like I'm not the youngest person in the room all the time anymore.
I know.
I was standing in my bathroom sink in my apartment in Marietta, Georgia, putting on my Ruby Tuesday apron and pants, my black tennis shoes. You had to have certain tennis shoes so you wouldn't fall and bust your tail. Yeah. And my pastel button-down shirt, and I just stood there and sobbed.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Did you want to be doing that when you were 20? That wasn't what I envisioned for my life at 24, working every Ruby Tuesday on my birthday. There wasn't, but that wasn't what I envisioned for my life.
This is me at my 25th birthday that Kelly Raspberry threw me.
I am drunk. That's the truth, and if you want to prove that truth wrong, you're wrong.
I wasn't crying. I was so excited I could rent a car finally.
I mean, I was also drunk, but once I got sober again, I was like, man, am I doing my life right? I'm like, should I be more successful or like have a husband? I don't know.
Nah, you're doing fine.
No.
I think my thing is a lot of the people I hang out with are 22 or 23.
That's
so they're living this, you know, they're doing what 22 and 23 year olds should be doing. My friends that are 25 and 26 are engaged, married, or having babies. And I'm doing the thing that 22 and 23-year-olds are doing.
Look, that's not going to change. All you have to do if you still want to go to bars, and I did when I turned 25, 26, you start going to bars where the 30-year-olds hang out.
And then I'm the youngest.
And then you're the youngest.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. You just got to change the scene.
You got to play it right.
Smart, Jenna.
In a few years, you'll be going to the bar at the Senior Citizen Center, but you'll still be the youngest one in there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Al. That's encouraging.
Speaking of your friends getting engaged and all that good stuff, you are currently looking for the one.
Yeah. Sure, I'm looking.
How's the dating world looking?
I mean, it's pretty bleak. I'm trying not to get discouraged, but...
I saw that article you posted, that blog that your Twitter boyfriend posted.
I'm going to tell you what, if you do not go out with this boy, I'm going to be mad at you.
Did you read it? It was pretty funny.
Yes.
He's going to hear this and then write a whole other blog about how Kelly Raspberry loves him.
Because he is right. He said, a girl always says she wants a guy with a sense of humor. That's like number one on the list.
Yeah, yep. And he's got it.
And you won't even give him a chance.
Why not? I haven't been keeping up. Why not? What's the deal?
You guys are flirting for what, a year?
I mean, we've been flirting. I don't know if we've been flirting. He has been flirting.
Yeah.
And then so sometimes I tweet him back.
Right.
I mean, I don't know him. I'll go out with him. Sure. Okay. I'm going out with you, Mac. Okay. We're going to go on a date. Plan a date. I'll go.
All right.
What's his name, Mac?
I think it's Mac.
He's been planning this ridiculously huge date.
Oh, this
right?
one he wanted to do like a movie.
Yeah, the movie screening. Outside of the building, yeah.
And then he did write a blog and said, I'm a regular on the Kid Craddock Morning Show and no one knows. It was pretty funny. So anyways, I guess there's that.
Right, yeah.
You
just confirmed the date, all right?
There's more.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. I'm here to tell you.
Come on.
Bumble is releasing a new kind of update to go along with normal Bumble. It's sort of supposed to be parallel to like LinkedIn. So it's called Bumble Buzz, and you create a profile same way, and it's separate from your regular dating Bumble profile, and it just has, you know, job, education, all of that stuff, and you can match with people in, like, a professional capacity.
See, I don't like this. I don't like this. I've come across this on the Raya dating app. You can now add just here for friends.
Yeah.
No. No way.
So you're married. You're on there. You get to dabble and say it's just for professional reasons.
I do think there are some, it's a little strange and there are some lines that could be crossed like that. I haven't tried Bumble Buzz yet. I just found out about it yesterday.
Okay. So you got Bumble A and you got Bumble B.
I think it just waters down the message.
Exactly. Like if are you there to, it's already confusing enough. Are they here for a hookup? Are you here because you want to find love?
Exactly. I think dating apps are already confusing
now because
you can
want a
literally
job.
Get on there to try to find somebody to hook up with in 20 minutes, or you're swiping on somebody that's looking for their husband or wife. So there's a lot of blurred lines. So this kind of causes a little bit more confusion, but they're saying it's separate. It's supposed to be professional. You can go matching with women and men on both sides. But they are keeping to the true Bumble design of women still have to initiate any kind of conversation. Okay. I guess I'm just in a place where I'm like, I'm trying to get successful in my career. I don't know that I would want to get on this and what's the perk?
There's LinkedIn for that.
What's the perk of me getting on here and matching with somebody else and messaging them like, hey, so you have a job too? Cool. We both have jobs.
Super awesome. I saw a lot of girls complaining about LinkedIn that dudes were going on there and hitting on them a lot.
I got asked out on a LinkedIn.
It's creepy though. That's for jobs.
It wasn't creepy. Not in the way this gentleman approached it. This is before I met Alan. But a man just said, look, I'm not on that dating site, but I'm just taking a chance here. And I looked, you know, I read his thing and I looked at his picture. I was like, well, if you were on Bumble, I would swipe right. So sure.
Yeah.
So we went out.
He was like,
from LinkedIn.
Proficient Microsoft Word.
I got a message. I got a Twitter message from somebody that I have some mutual friends with in the area. And she said she got a weird message on LinkedIn from a girl.
Yeah.
Who's trying to hook her up with like an older professional, and he's, I guess, she's like playing matchmaker on LinkedIn.
You can help.
And she was like, let me set up a call with you. I'd like to tell you about this man that could be interested in you.
Maybe she's
a professional matchmaker.
Maybe she is.
That happens. Like, I know that professional matchmaking, when you're in the airline on the plane and you read the back of the magazines and it's like the professional matchmakers, they literally go to these websites and they pick out pretty girls for rich men they're trying to pick them up.
So you can be a social media pimp.
On. So
yeah, this happens.
True. I got approached at the gym not long ago. Did I even tell you guys that? And this woman was like, hi, what's your name? I'm like, Jenna. And I thought she was just going to be like, oh, big fan. She's like, are you single? I was like, yes. And she goes, I have this great older gentleman. She's like, honestly, I'm a matchmaker, but he's single and very successful. She was there like poaching at the gym. And I'm sitting there sweaty getting a smoothie. And she was like, would you mind if I can send you his photo, if I show him your photo?
Wow.
I'm like,
so I need to go to the gym.
I guess. I don't know. I've never encountered that before. I think they just go places
everywhere
and look for people.
Did you see him?
She wasn't there to work out. She was just there hovering at the front door. It was so weird.
They do. Well, that was you go to an upscale gym, so they want to upscale a girl that could hang with upscale men. And they go to these, like my friend was on Match, and somebody approached her Match. It was a professional dating service and said, we'd like to hook you up with some of our clients.
I was like, is this an escort
legit
service? Like, is she trying to pick me up to be a
It's matchmaker.
Is there a difference?
Not escort. Yeah, because there's not a money exchange. It's like
going out
professional matchmakers.
You,
it's maybe like the professional
guy.
Men who
from
don't
the
have
guy,
time.
They have to pay.
They have to pay a fee.
For this girl
they're not
to go
paying.
Out and,
they're
and
paying the matchmaker the fee. They're not paying the woman. So it's not prostitution.
So did you see this guy's picture? Like, are you interested? No.
I never heard from her. So he, I guess he didn't like my photo.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.